just another episode of the Be Better podcast. Devin, I say just another episode because you know what? They're all bangers. I mean, tell
just
me
just another top flight, elite level episode.
All bangers, man. We're like Aziz Ansari, just all bangers. That's our playlist. This is all we're doing.
Exactly right.
For those of you that have never tuned in before or just never cared to learn, my name is Chris Swarthout. To my across the room is my partner, Devin Palmer.
Devin Palmer, Remax Results.
And Devin's assistant slash intern slash support animal sitting next to you is our dog, Soda.
Your dog, Soda.
Well, yes. When I said R, I mean the royal R, not you.
For the listener, Soda just got a very high and tight haircut, so it looks neat and trim.
Very much so. She was the shaggy, shaggy dog before that. She would walk through the yard and come back with all kinds of birds. Not a good thing.
Nope.
Devin, how's your summer been going so far? Last we spoke, I believe we were just coming off of the Grandma's Marathon and a little bit of Tour de France action.
Were we mid-tour?
We were mid-tour. We were getting close to the end, and we were like predicting pretty much exactly how it all
unfolded. So now we can comfortably confirm all of our predictions were correct.
Oh, 100%. Have we ever been wrong?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
I have not been able to fact check us be wrong ever before. I
can't think of a single time.
Not a single time.
Summer went quite well for us. We were so ready to get back to the rhythm and routine of school. We think, because our kids are 6'4", 2".
Mm-hmm.
By about August, I think the level of changes week by week and lack of the clarity of a schedule and rhythm and routine maybe wears on them, and they're a little more cranky.
Oh, yeah, for
so
sure.
We had some doldrums, late summer doldrums, and now we're snapping back into rhythm and routine with school.
It's just the same thing. And you know, for us, we're at 17, 15, and 10. So two high schoolers and a fifth grader.
Yep.
And man, it's nice to have the house be quiet. Like, not anybody, like, you know, just yelling, waking up at 10:30 and going, hey, when's breakfast? Like, well, that was 2.5 hours ago.
Sir, the breakfast buffet closed at 10.
Yes, I'm not sure if you saw, but it's also checkout at noon. You know, and we say end of summer because it's past Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Or Labor Day.
Labor Day.
Labor Day. I always get those mixed up. I mean, I literally, for the life of me, will probably always get those mixed up for the rest of my life. But it's past that. So there's that's kind of like the end of Minnesota summer.
And this little cool snap has really put a fine point on that, too.
Oh, definitely. And it's like it's cool outside, but we got things cooking up this weekend. Well, let's recap the things that have happened so far. Maple Grove Triathlon happened. That's the largest triathlon, and the YWCA triathlon here in Minneapolis. Did you go to scope any of those out, or were you involved in either of those?
Here is the proximity I scoped out the women's tri. I was doing my long run on West River Road, and I could see the cones set up. I could see the park police beginning to clear the parkway, but I start my run at 6, and so I was coming through that area at maybe 7:15, 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they had started yet. So as I was getting closer to the intersection where Sea Salt is, I was like, oh, maybe I'll see the leaders. Maybe I'll see the leaders. And then I was like, oh, no, they'll probably start in about 10 minutes. Then they have to swim 10, 15 minutes, and it'll be a couple minutes of the biking before they get here.
Yeah,
I did not see them because I had to turn my loop. I go a hard left down towards Fort Snelling. So
and you're done.
I came close to seeing the leaders of the race, but didn't.
Oh, well,
did you call Maple Grove again this year?
I did call. Well, that's not the first time I've done that.
Announced, okay.
Maple Grove, because you know before I was the race director.
Yep.
And then the last year I was not. You know, backing away and I chose to back away so that I could make time for the possibility of going to Paris for the Paralympics.
Yep.
Ended up going to Paris for the Olympics as a spectator and help people get to the Paralympics, but wasn't chosen for that. So, but still had to make that kind of decision. And I think it was good for me to, you know, to step back. I felt like I had done a lot of things for that race and built it back from the word lifetime, kind of let it die on the vine. And now the race this year was 1,100 athletes.
Wow. Which is huge for try in 2025.
Oh, absolutely. And so it was the USA Triathlon Minnesota State Championships for age groupers and sprint and international distance. It was the Midwest Collegiate Conference Championships. So they had the teams out there competing against each other. It's like, you know, Nebraska, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, all the Midwest Collegiate Conference. It was the Minnesota State High School Championships as well. So they had actually a high school wave that was competing specifically out there.
So age group sprint and Olympic titles on the line, state
yep.
titles.
Yep.
Collegiate conference championship. It's a high school championship.
Yep.
How many, four or five high schoolers? Like
there were, I think there were like 15 to 20 high schoolers out there.
Okay.
And you know, in high school, like triathlon is kind of like maybe trap shooting is, you yeah. know, or bass fishing. Because I mean, think about the sports that exist in high school now. It's here in the state of Minnesota. Fishing didn't exist when I was in high school. You couldn't be like on the fishing team. You weren't on the trap shooting team, like go out and shoot clay pigeons. We didn't have lacrosse when I went to Tino Grace.
Had shotguns been invented when you
yes,
were in high
because
school?
Because I brought my shotgun to school for show and tell one time. Not show and tell, but for a speech that I made.
Okay.
Literally brought a shotgun in a case to school, left it in the office, went and got it. How about that?
60s were a different time, huh?
60s, get out of it. It was the late 1900s. Late 1900s, and that was the time. But triathlon is a club sport. I am invited to the call every other week for the USAT club, club promotions or whatever, and you know, I'm kind of the thing. Well, like, how do you screw up an event? You getting parents involved. Let the kids do what the kids do. But they are doing pretty well, and it's growing. So Maple Grove was a great race. Had a great day. It rained the night before, and a little bit worried about that. But then just wind was a little bit of the issue. But outside of the wind, it was a wonderful, beautiful day. And Frank and Cindy put on a great event.
Awesome.
So that was nice to see that those races are still going. And because Minnetonka's gone. We lost Minnetonka.
That was a huge loss.
I know. And the city was basically said, we don't want to deal with it anymore. That was the reason for it to go away.
That's a toughie, because that area in the real estate world, Chris, I was running through the MLS. I was like, let me see how many homes have sold in the MLS in different municipalities over the $2 million price point.
And?
St. Paul, it's in the 20s.
Okay.
And then you do the, let's call it the cluster of Minnetonka, Excelsior, Wayzata, Orono. You know, like, let's call it the Lake Minnetonka area.
It's the Lake Conference.
It's hundreds. So it's all that to say, there's a heck of a lot of money out that way. You have a heck of a lot of different municipalities you're dealing with, because it's like these teeny little tiny villages like Shorewood and...
Oh, Green, absolutely. Deephaven. All
there's
of those
smaller little towns where you have to touch base with a lot of people. I can see the complications, and I can see those towns saying, hey, our public isn't interested in having this anymore. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I can see how it gets there, but it's just such a shame.
Well, you know, and to show how, like, to kind of keep it in the high school realm, the announcing that I've been doing lately, because, mm-hmm. I did announcing last year for hockey, that Minnesota Hockey TV has created this year what they call the Lake Conference Network, and it is in the same vein as the SEC did with trying to monetize the broadcast of their sports for the SEC conference down in, what is it, Alabama and Georgia and all those in Mississippi, all those big Southern conferences, right?
Yep.
It's the same thing. So they have created a co-op where all those big money teams, we're talking YZ's, your Eden Prairies, your Edina's, your Orono's, Maple Groves, everybody that's coming in the Lake Conference Network or into the network is a big entity. And you go there and you see it, because like I had never been to Edina High School, but I went to broadcast and call a game for Edina girls varsity volleyball. Holy smokes, that school would rival like the University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And compared to like, Minneapolis public schools. Went to Wayzata, like the production that they have in their football games was off the charts. And the promotions they have, the sponsorships they have are just crazy, crazy numbers. And so like tonight I'm doing swimming and diving. It's in triathlon, right? I feel like I've got a little bit of foothold into there. I can say, oh yeah, good high elbow recovery on that one there. So it goes to your point that the money is creating different things, and that in there, that's going to be the future of high school broadcasting. You'll see the next wave. They'll do that same type of conglomerate in the Dallas area for football.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does do is it popularizes and gives opportunities for other marginal or fringe sports, such as like swimming that would never be broadcast. Now we're gonna, you could, like tonight, you can literally watch a swim meet on the
internet. So a listener could listen to you call this 100%. High school swim meet.
100%. So you can listen to that. Now you can also do it for volleyball, like girls volleyball, getting that coverage, soccer. They will do for band and choir. Basically, you're not doing commentary. You're running production.
I would love to see Chris Worthell color commentary on marching band, on choir.
How about drama? You know, let's go.
And here comes the soprano. Oh, what a solo! Wow.
I'm gonna do the play by play for Hello Dolly, right? but what it does is these create opportunities for other kids, which I think is great.
Yep.
And you know, bringing that full circle is back, that gives helps triathlon. So you could someday see triathlon being broadcast on the internet for high schoolers, like however that would be.
The top flight of our sport barely gets broadcast on the internet, so I'm not going to go ahead and hold my breath for high school, but we'll see.
You never know, but it's we'll encouraging see. To see. Yeah, I mean, what's the most highly broadcast? I mean, well, I think probably statistically, T100 would probably have the largest broadcast audience.
You think so?
Well, I know that what T100 says is they normally will have up to 6 million views per event.
Is that views is a tricky word?
It is a tricky word, right? It is a tricky word. But they say they have that because of the global impact that they have.
Interesting.
They have a global format. And they also do a lot more, right? So they have a lot more events. They put just about as much into the production of a T100 event as they do to Kona. It's shorter, so people can watch it and it can be more consumable.
Yeah.
I think as a singular event, Kona probably does have the most views, just because you get every nerd turning it on their phone and then walking away from it or listening to it all day.
Popping it in and out, in and out.
You could only get so much Greg Welch.
Yep.
I mean, love the guy.
Doing a great job of it.
He also is he's the announcer for T100 too.
Is he?
Yes. I was doing the T100. I was working T100 in Vegas last year. And he was there announcing the age groupers in the age group race, like coming across the finish line. So he was like me announcing those people. I'm like, oh, how the mighty have fallen. he's sitting there announcing age group awards. I'm like, oh.
Got to make that paper.
Oh, man. You know, I'm sure there's payments he has to make somewhere.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But that's so.
Hold on. You're talking about high school triathlon, which is not a thing. We're just going to be honest. It's not a thing. It's not going to be a thing. High school mountain biking is a thing. So high school mountain biking wasn't a thing when I was in high school. I just had my, speaking of events this late summer, my high school graduating class, we had our 20-year that I did not attend. 20 years out. But
I give that a big thumbs down.
In the intermediary 20 years, high school mountain biking has become a thing and exploded and flourished and really is...
It's huge.
It's incredible to watch. It's really fun.
It's huge. So what's grown that? What do you think has grown these sports that we didn't have back then?
Having smart coaching and programming and the opportunity being there is always helps. Like, you have to build it before you can have a team, but it's hard to explain it. There must be a heck of a lot of appeal to this cohort of kids. Like, hey, I could go ride my bike in the woods.
Yeah.
And I can race or not race.
It's a low threshold.
Yeah.
I mean, Julian was on the 612 team representing Washburn. And, you know, he was having fun. He enjoyed riding his bike. There was no pressure. The parents and the coaches were coaches. They made it fun. They were very supportive. I got to tell you, they were super supportive. I mean, like, Julian's coming in last almost every time, except for when the kid popped his chain. Then Jay was second to last, and he proclaimed that he won. Not really, but okay. We'll let you have this one. But the coaches were there cheering him on through the very end, and were like, they celebrated him as if he was, you know, had won it. And Minneapolis does have some really good talent there.
Yeah.
Even
on the coaching side, I don't know if you know Bruce Martins, but he's helped train so many different coaches for youth programs.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's been so exciting to see. I don't know the cause, I don't know the growth, but it shows you there's an appetite for, I wonder if there's a correlation. This cohort of young kids has been the ones who are like first exposed to having smartphones. So I wonder if there's a correlation like, hey, if I go mountain biking, I'm just kind of offline for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't.
Is that crazy? Is that a totally unrelated theory, or could that?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I've never seen a kid crave time offline.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't. They Strava the whole thing.
I suppose.
And they track it all. So, I think it's. I think it's a. It's a good challenge. It's an easy thing to be able to, you know, to execute. It's you don't have a lot of like areas that you need to create. There's a lot of, especially in Minneapolis. And in Minnesota, think of all the mountain biking parks there are. You know, go up north, and what do you got? You got Redhead, you got Tioga, you got Cuyuna, and they're they keep populating. They're huge, huge, like I would say even town creators. Yeah. Like Cuyuna created, you know, the Crosby Ironton.
Yeah, how much cash?
It didn't create. I would say reinvigorated Crosby Ironton.
Well, it just brings a nice amount of cash back to the area.
And businesses.
It's a huge draw.
If you ever drove through like Crosby Ironton before Cuyuna was there, it was a dying Iron Range town. Yep. Two dying Iron Range towns. Now, they got microbrews, farm to table restaurants, bike shops, Airbnbs that you can't get into. The town is full of Subarus and, you know, hipsters everywhere. It's crazy, and those are great things, especially to areas that had singular income points. You think, well, not singular, maybe dual, forestry and mining.
Yeah.
So those might be part of it. I think it all kind of maybe snowballs into it.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I think it's a great thing that's going on there.
I'm more excited to see that than high school triathlon. I'm going to be honest. I started tri in college. Most of the fast people I knew were either a collegiate swimmer or a collegiate runner.
Mm-hmm.
I was not good enough to swim or run at the U of M, so of course no. I had to go straight to triathlon. But I always think like
those you went straight to MJETS.
Straight to MJETS.
Yeah.
Those high school years, just be on your high school swim team, be on your high school run team, do maybe high school mountain biking too, like build up those skill sets independently and become good at those to a certain degree before you jump over to triathlon full time.
I think it is. I mean, you know, triathlon has been billed many times as being the retirement of singular sport people, or, you know, they have tried to recruit people who have been like on the second tier,
mm-hmm.
You know, have they're good. They're really good. But
Gwen Jorgensen, Andy Potts.
Yep. All of those. And you know, we had talked about before this, Stephanie Sofeldt, who was one of your MJETs. She was an incredible swimmer, but she was not incredible enough to be that collegiate breakthrough swimmer.
Yep.
So she goes to triathlon and, you know, becomes a superstar. It's a place for people who are, you know, who want to live in that top echelon, but aren't that in their singular sport. Nothing taking away from her. She was amazing. She was the nicest, kindest person in the world and still is, and has seven, eight, nine, 10 kids.
You tell me.
I don't know. Well, what do you mean me tell you?
You tell me.
Anyways. So I think those are, I still think high school triathlon it won't ever be the same size as like collegiate triathlon, but it's nice to see that it might be. I'm sure in other states, it's a bigger thing.
Yeah.
California, Florida, you know, places like that. I think it's a bigger thing, but you know, it will eventually find its home, and Maple Grove's the state championship for that this year.
State title.
Hey, you know, hand out state titles. Everyone gets, it's like Oprah, you know, you get a state champion, you get a state champion, you get a state championship.
They got to do in gravel and cross to add more categories to give out more medals. They always do the single speed element.
Oh,
so
tell me about it.
How many years are we out from triathlon introducing a single speed category?
Fat bike category.
I was the top
unicycle category
single speed athlete.
Well, I mean, like, so we've seen, so Ironman Wisconsin's this weekend.
Yeah.
And so is the 70.3. We have seen some things at Ironman Wisconsin that have been ridiculous. There is the guy from Rochester that does the carbon bike.
Drew Wilson,
yep,
who does carbon. Yep.
Yep. He cyclocarbon.
Cyclocarbon. Yep.
Actually does great work. He fixed one of my rims once and my fork. He took a Trek TTX and then fabricated it in the forks and in the rear chain and seat stays to accept fat bike tires. and he did it. And he did it on he did it on a fat bike aero bike or fat tire aero bike. That should be a category right there. Now, and if you've never seen this, just go out and Google fat tire aero bike.
Because it was about a decade ago. One of the last times I think you and I were both there to spectate Wisconsin.
Yep.
Fat biking was probably at its peak, and there were two people, we both thought it was a little asinine, but two people who did it on their fat bikes.
Like you're just begging to say, pay attention to me. You know,
I'm not going to get attention for being fast enough or hot enough or cool enough.
People just need attention.
Yeah.
I saw a guy at Wisconsin try to do it on a unicycle.
Did they allow that?
They did.
I would.
Can you imagine coming down the Helix?
The ramp?
Can you imagine going up Old Sauk on a unicycle? Go down Timber. Like, you got guys going like 60 miles an hour past
Iron
you.
Iron Man couldn't have allowed that.
I saw it. I think if I remember right, he had aero bars on the unicycle where it came out of the saddle and it had aero bars on it.
Is this a fib?
No, this is true. 100% true. Go out and go to the Google and hit Iron Man unicycle. And I'm sure you're going to see it. I'm sure.
First,
I guarantee it. I guarantee it. 100%.
First in your category. Chris, would you rather, okay, so you, as your kids are progressing in sports, do you want them to be the big fish in a small pond or a little fish in the bigger pond?
You know, so I'm going to be, and it's not the quirky answer you want. I'm going to say, I just want them to be in the pond. I don't need them to be the big. I don't need them to be the big fish. I don't need them to be the best. I don't know that I don't want them. I don't even know if I like that is a desire of mine. But I want them to be there to experience it, and that's
the most zen malarkey I've ever heard in my life.
It's 100% true.
No, I guess that's a very fair answer. Some people get so
like for Cole. Let's I'm gonna put Cole out there. That both Cole and Julian are in tryouts, and they are they're coming up to tryouts for hockey for the Minneapolis high school team.
Because for
the co-op
it's not even
team.
A it's conference a co- anymore. It's just literally just one high school team.
It's one high school co-op team, and there are a lot of co-op teams out there, and where high schools combine to try and create budget or accessibility to facilities. And for hockey, facilities are a big piece, and it's also a high budget sport.
Yep.
So any public school in Minneapolis, you can try out for the hockey team. The last two years, Cole's played JV. This year, he's a senior, and he will not have JV as an option. He has to either make the varsity team or he will not play. He's a bubble player.
Yep.
You know, there are honestly a couple of kids that are younger than him that could be that could be chosen instead of him. I just want him to be on the team. Yeah. I want him to make the team. I don't need him to be the highest scorer. I just want him to make the team to have the experience. And for Julian, kind of the same thing for JV. I want him to have the experience. And so do I want a kid to be the best? I have zero desire to have a child who is the best of the best. I just don't have any desire to be that. I was never that. So maybe that skews that and that makes that decision for me. But I just want my kids to play. I want my kids to be in the position where they can play. And I think as long as they're happy and as long as they're enjoying it, that's the experience that I want them to have. How about you? I mean, do you have...
It's something I think about a little bit. Because as we talk about like the Lake Conference out there, you look at I went to St. Paul Central. I was one of about 400 from a graduating class. We were a middle-sized school. And St. Paul City Conference in my sports of swimming and running was, you know, St. Paul Conference was pretty weak. So I got to be a bigger fish in a small pond conference-wise. But then when I went to sections in running my senior year and had to face Ben Blankenship wouldn't have said he faced me because he was winning the race and I was like eighth or whatever it was in the mile and he went on to win the state title. There was nice aspects about it, but then you didn't necessarily get the whole picture. Whereas I think of like Wayzata High School where there's so many kids, so many families, and so many families who invest heavily in having their kid be super serious about sports. So it's like the school has phenomenal teams across the board, and there's obviously a lot of cash to support that, which is helpful. But there's just the numbers. So if you're like, oh yeah, my kid, you know, we're in the WSET school system, it's like, well, if you're not really elite, or, you know, or nearly elite level in a whatever their given sport is, like, yeah, they're never going to play on the varsity team.
Yeah.
So it's just different opportunities. Like, you, it's harder to even be in the pond at like a WSET high school just be on a sheer numbers basis.
Yeah, and the other thing that comes from it, and I heard an interview with TJ Oshie, who is an Olympic hockey player, played for War Road. Played for North Dakota, University of North Dakota, also retired recently, played for the Capitals. He was a renowned hockey player from Minnesota. TJ Oshie was being interviewed, and he talked about the change in Minnesota-style hockey and how it is, how players are changing. Because Minnesota is a very unique duck in being community-based in its program of the sport. Everywhere else in the United States, it's not community-based, it's private-based.
Oh, okay.
So the idea of playing for your high school all through your senior year and, you know, trying to win a state championship is very unique in that sport. What he said is changing is that players are moving out of that and getting representation and having the pressure to move move out into different places while they're still in high school.
Yeah.
So the quarterback for the Edina High School is a kid named West. And I don't know if he was the MVP of the Minnesota High School Hockey tournament last year, but he's going to be going, and this is his senior year, he is going to be playing hockey up in North Dakota as a professional. So he's going to in a junior league. So basically, you know, playing above. And because they're exposed to more games and more of like an NHL-style schedule. The most games that you can play as a hockey player in Minnesota in a season is 31, which is not a lot of games. If you think about how many games that you're playing at the next levels, where they're playing a lot more. So that's one of the things that they're searching for. And so we're kind of getting outside of that. So when you talk about, do you want your kid to be this or that? One of the things that just being able to play the game and being on the team, one of the things that for my kids will be is there's a defined end of the process.
Yep.
You know, they don't have, like, they're not continuing to struggle to try and make that next team after high school. They can choose to play like a club level where it's like, you know, like you pay to play, you volunteer, you sign up, it's like a rec league, whatever. You can choose to play that. That's different, but they're not still like grinding it out, trying to make that next thing where they're not not a gifted person and anything's guaranteed. There comes a time, I think, when there might be some sense of relief that here's the end.
Yeah.
It does. I don't have to worry about that. I can play other things. Cole's been playing golf like a crazy man. And so, you know, he can go out and play golf all he wants.
Is he having a Happy Gilmore senior year right now?
Oh my God! He got a job this summer.
Oh, good!
And he's working at Minnetonka.
Oh,
at a country club. And we're talking about Swanky. Ooh-wee. I know, it's where the Krugers belong. My brother and sister in law belong there. And so he's shout out to Allie and Chris and Beckett and Rowan and Dylan, and Ruby and Luna, their dogs. Finn is also their dog. So he's on the grounds crew.
Mm-hmm.
So not mowing or anything, because that's like, you know, the lawn and stuff and the botany stuff. But he's like, you know, cleaning golf carts, and he's the guy that's picking up balls in the range and, you know, taking your clubs and getting your clubs and cleaning them and doing all that stuff. He loves it. I mean, he freaking loves it. It is almost defined him. He like has a different wardrobe that he has to wear. They didn't make fun of him. They critiqued him for not wearing a belt. It's like, why aren't you wearing a belt? You know, are you a Neanderthal?
So he received some feedback.
So now he has to wear, he wears a belt all the time. And, you know, he loves the game.
Yep.
And he picks it up and he'll be swinging in the backyard and tearing up our grass. And, you know, he's always thinking about it, which is cool, because then it has something different. He's not like, you know, so singular focused. But again, I think having the idea of being, there's an end. Like, this is the last time he's going to have to really grind at this. I think there's some relief point for kids, and they can focus on something else out there.
Well, and they can appreciate this is finite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is doesn't go on forever. One of the big,
but it's an actual end. I mean, think about it for triathlon. Okay, let's look at a professional triathlete. where do you draw the end of the line of your career? Let's take, you know, like Leanda Cave. She struggled to figure out where's the stop line.
Yep.
And what comes afterwards? Like when where's this? There's no real definite end.
Well, there's no off ramp, because if you stay healthy enough, you can be kind of competitive. And with her having her 2012 that she had, mm-hmm. with two world titles, she can cash in money wise and make a little more scratch, you know, both from sponsors and race invites for a few more years off of that. Even though if her heart may or may not be in it, or she may or may not be at the same peak level.
Yeah.
So it's a harder off ramp. For me, it was an easy off ramp. Where my regret from those years was having kind of an infinite mindset, like, oh, yeah, I'll do this forever, and not valuing every opportunity and valuing every year. Like, okay, this is what I'm going to get after this year. This is the big, you know, it truly was like, because I could get entries into any given race, and I was in my 20s, so it's like, oh, this will go on forever. I didn't appreciate and focus enough in the moment on each and every single opportunity.
Yeah, and I mean, looking back, would you have changed that?
Yeah. Yeah. I would have. Looking back, I mean, there's a million regrets I have from those years of things I could have done to get more out of it and to have enjoyed it a lot more. And so that's where I regret. And when I think about my kids coming up, you know, 6-year-old is just starting first grade, and we'll hope her school has a little swim club. We certainly hope we can get her to try that out. I don't have necessarily high performance aspirations for them for sports. Like, I just want them to do it and use sports, like, for the social engagement and the physical growth and learning, and like opportunity to, oh, I follow a process and I get the performance I want.
Yeah.
You know, to learn those life lessons. But, you know, for both my wife and I were reasonable level performing athletes in our day, and there was no reward. So now I look at it at the other side of my career, like, oh, yeah, I got to that mountaintop of being quote unquote a professional athlete.
Yeah.
There's no reward for it.
No.
You don't make, so unless you're getting to the echelon of NFL, NBA, you know, a true money sport, you know, it's just another passion. Like, I got to pursue my passion, and that's fun and fine. But this dream that I think a lot of parents are sold, and I think we're coming on the other side of this dream of selling parents on the dream of, like, be on the travel soccer team, be super serious about hockey. There's a big reward for it. Like, you'll get a scholarship, but it's like, no, probably not.
No,
it's not a worthy bet. It's not worth the trade-off, the effort, and especially the crazy time and cash as a parent you have to invest. It's not worth it, because that's more than likely not going to happen.
Yep. But so if your kid does enjoy it, and let's say they want to do more, and they are showing signs,
yeah,
I think there's a balance between, you know, hyper focus and like just super singularization of that, and saying, okay, you're going to do this. This is all you're going to do, because this is who you're going to be. And I think there's a balance between that and saying, okay, I support you. And what do you want to do?
Yep. A little more laissez-faire, like, let them, don't push them, let them pull or pursue.
Yeah.
Because that's, I just can't.
It's pushing them or supporting them.
Yeah.
And I think supporting a kid is different than pushing them.
Yep.
Because a lot of parents live in that kind of glory days, like, this is what I could have done, this is what I did, you're going to do this. I think as a role model, you and I may be very good in the fact that we show our kids that we still enjoy the sports that we participated in at our level.
Yep.
You know, the fact that I still nerd out and love hockey, and I love cycling, and, you know, I would say that have become a fan of all sports. I think that
as a professional broadcaster, you're familiar with every sport,
every sport. I can call it out. I think that becomes important in showing your kids that, you know, there is something, there's a life in sport outside of being the best, or making that team, and that you can enjoy it and you can find enjoyment all your life. I mean, you and Thea both running marathons this year is showing how you guys have taken your, you know, your high school career and maybe like collegiate career in running, and are still. Like, you know, and still enjoy it. It didn't kill you. It didn't burn you out.
Yep.
Versus some athletes who vow never to play the game again.
And that's where I see a lot of people who do make it, let's say, to the collegiate level. And you see, I think of swimming, the grueling stuff collegiate coaches put these swimmers through. It's like,
oh, yeah.
You hear about it, it just seems so nuts to me. It's like, there's no reward.
Or cross-country runners.
Well, they get ground out, they get hurt, they get injured. Swimmers, the volume of work is, you know, cross country running. Get real. You're spending 60 to 90 minutes a day, tops. It's nothing. Collegiate swimming, they grind these swimmers like 3+ hours a day. It's just so stinking hard because you can put in a massive volume of work.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's the frickin' payoff for all this?
I don't know.
It's it's tough. Like, if you're truly in line and you're like, yeah, I'm going to be make the championship heat at the Big Ten meet in my event, the 100 breast this year.
Yeah.
Okay, if that dream is worth it, and it's worth it to you, but it's like, I'm telling you, the dream of a scholarship ain't worth it. Like, all of that, I feel like my generation of parents is maybe going to be a little more, we're going to maybe pull back, or I sure hope we're going to pull back on the extreme elements of youth sports. Like, this guy moving to a different state. What's the end game? Like, do you think you're going to make the NHL? And maybe if you do make the NHL, okay, I played in the NHL 5 years. I made $10 million. I invested half of it, paid the other half to taxes. Fine. I'm set for life.
Yep.
So maybe the payoff would be there.
Yeah. But, I mean, but
maybe not. Maybe you forfeited your whole freaking peak senior year of high school for nothing and got nowhere.
And it's a gamble. All sports, it's at a certain point in time, is a gamble once you get out of, I would say, even high school.
Yeah.
Injury can sideline you and end your career at any point in time. We've seen that happen so many times. But if you it's different. We never were at a point where we had the window of possibly going on to the next great level of a stick and ball professional sport. Not like where you were like you were a pro, as I say in quotation marks. You were a pro. But I mean
pro with a question mark. Pro?
Were you though? I mean you were just able to buy a membership. Like
license like anyone else.
It's like being pro at Costco, right?
I was the Costco of athletes.
But if you have
I have my Costco card. I'm racing with the Costco card this year.
On sample day. But if you have like there's a possibility, like you have the skill set, you have the size, you have the power, you have the talent where you could go there.
Yep.
And do you work for it? I don't vilify people for saying, yeah, I'm going to reach for that ring.
I don't at all. And I think if you truly are in line, if you show that phenomenal talent and the one in a million talent, sure, go for it. Absolutely. Go for it. And same with Olympians and all those things. But I think I feel bad for people who invest as if they are that, both with their time and their effort and, you know, mommy and daddy's cash, and they're not.
Yeah.
Or if they're getting sold a bill of goods by, you know, whatever club coach they're on, it's like, oh, yeah, you got to be super serious. You got to,
Yeah.
It's like,
want mom and dad's money, so they see that they're willing to pay,
yep.
And they're going to say, okay, well, you pay us enough, we'll put them on the team.
Because the pure numbers of it, it's like, how many make it to play on a D1 team in football or basketball? Almost none.
Yep.
And then how many from that pool, that extremely tiny pool, how many of them go on to play in the pro leagues? Almost none.
Yeah.
So I think it's a pretty safe bet. You're not that.
It's a numbers game.
Yep.
It is definitely a numbers game. And even if you get there, there's no guarantee, you know, that anything's going to happen once you get there.
Yep.
Those are good points. So,
chasing the dream for its own sake and enjoying it, sure.
Yeah.
But chasing it for with other visions that are perhaps unrealistic, it's like
or with unrealistic support. Like parents are, like, if people are telling you, you know, your stuff doesn't stink.
Yep.
And you stink. That doesn't help. That does not help a kid either.
Because one of the biggest things I came out of grad school knowing is, you can't perform, you can't predict elite performance as an adult on anything prepubescent.
Yeah.
So this notion of investing super heavy in just adolescent kids, like, then all the data shows like, just play a bunch of different sports and you'll enjoy it and, you know, get strong and healthy and, you know, maybe get more specialized as you age and reach those, reach the next level. Then you can perhaps pursue that level of seriousness if it's warranted.
Yeah, and then when you're 20, just make sure you maximize it because life goes downhill after that.
Life goes downhill so fast. But just thinking through our family life as we're at the front end here.
Unless your last name is Pagaccia.
Pagaccia. I just don't want I look at our family life like, our schedule is dictated by work and by school. Like, we already have these outside third-party factors driving 80% of our life schedule as a family. I'm not going to let a coach tell me how I'm going to spend my weekends.
Yeah.
It's like, no, no, we're going to do what we're going to do as a family. And if we'll participate in things and let them encourage them to do all kinds of stuff, but we're not going to have lifestyle dictated by
another
third party entity.
It's funny because there are now youth sports that bill themselves as in leagues where they're weekend friendly.
Yeah.
Where you are guaranteed there's going to be no practice, no games on weekends. And in Minnesota in the summertime.
That's smart. If we're going somewhere, if we're going to grandma and papa's cabin or something.
Yeah, you know that you're going to be able to maximize your summers. That's a big piece. All right. Things that are coming up. We talked about Wisconsin. Yep. Do you have anybody that you know that's going to be competing at Ironman Wisconsin?
Chris, I don't know a single. I can't think of a single person. That's how out of touch I am. How about you? How many athletes do you have racing, sir?
Nopers is going.
What?
Anopa.
No, he's not. He did it last year.
Well, he's doing the 70.3.
Okay, well, let's not pretend that's a thing.
That's a real thing.
Granted,
it's half an Ironman.
It's 5 hours of exercise. Oh,
he's going to be doing. He's looking good. So Nopes, for everybody that doesn't know, Brandon Anopa was
MJET alumni.
An MJET alumni. And he chose the wise route. He chose the wise coaching route and continued to find leadership inside people that brought him success originally.
No, what he did that was wise, instead of parlaying a MJET's career into a pro tri career, Brandon went into finance.
He did.
Brandon's a lot smarter than me, I'll tell you.
He's got a legitimate job. But he's going and he's doing really good. I'm excited to see him there. That's going to be a really good race for him. And besides that, I don't have any. I have other athletes racing around the area, but that's the only one in Madison there.
Is there a pro event there still?
I believe there still is. I mean, it's in Ironman, it seems like it changes.
Because there was a time yearly. They were shuffling, like there'd be. They split it out by gender. Like this year, it's a only men's pro race, and then this year it's only pro women's.
I think there's still pro fields, but I don't know what the payout there is that they have. I mean, not that there's really money in Ironman racing anyways anymore, unless you win Kona. And it seems to be you have to almost invest your way to get there.
If
you want to make money,
go
race Schwamigan next week. That's, you know, in the mountain bike series, mountain bike series, because that's where Brom's throwing all the money at now.
That's true.
And that whole series, that Mazda series, is like crazy, crazy money. So they're doing Kansas, the Big Shugs, all of those races. And that's where the money's at right now.
You mean Unbound?
Unbound, yeah. Sorry.
That was another renamed
Dirty Kansas. I think that they should bring back the Dirty Kansas name. And that was what it should stay.
That was a renaming. It's like,
why?
There was a justification in the thought process. Like, I didn't object to the renaming. It's like, okay, if somebody, whatever, if someone,
yeah,
I think it was that one. I didn't get all flustered at that renaming.
Okay, which renamings did you get all flustered?
I'm sure there have been renamings that I like, that's not justified.
No, I mean, I think in some of those races you have to rename them, but you know, it seems that professional mountain biking, or you know, the series is mountain biking and gravel racing. Mixture.
I swear, gravel is triathlon in 2007. Like, it's just ascendant.
It seems to be, and Schwamigan's unique in that manner, because if you think about for those of you who don't know, Schwamigan mountain bike race occurs on the Birkebeiner, the American Birkebeiner Trail, which goes from Cable to Hayward, 40 miles, and it's a mixture of single track. Have you ever done Schwami?
Nope.
Okay, so I have. Humble brag. I'm just going to flex.
Wow. A little bit.
I know.
You're the big fish in a small pond of mountain bikers in this conversation.
I know. So it is it's a mixture of single track, like open road type of gravel stuff, and some technical things. And so I've seen people do it with, you know, there is a fat bike category there. So, you know, there's a single speed category that we have to announce.
Of course
there's. And there's also a short, what they call short and fat, which is where all the high school kids race for their, and you see them all coming out. But it is, it's mostly like mountain bike. And you see some gravel bikes that are out there in the mix, but not a ton of them. But it is kind of a combination. It's a mid event where you could do a couple different things. It's not strictly like Leadville, where, you know, Leadville, you got to do a mountain bike.
Yep,
it's absolute. But you could get away with a gravel bike.
I feel like certain mountain bike events, especially like Schwamigan, and I think of Lutzen as well, where they've done a great job drawing not just pure mountain bikers. Because how many triathletes do we know who go up and do Lutzen and go and do Schwamigan?
Yeah, I mean, mountain biking is kind of like the new cross-country skiing.
Yep.
Because like when we were in it, it was you did tri in the summer and you did cross-country skiing in the winter. And that was, now it's mountain biking kind of like in the off season. And it is. There's a ton of crossover.
Yeah,
ton
it's of cool crossover. To see. And some events, I think, just from a technical standpoint, some events favor it.
Yeah,
or maybe are more forgiving.
I wish we would have more cyclocross racing.
Yeah,
I miss the cyclocross series that used to be around here. I thought that was also a fun thing because you could walk up and register.
Because
it was kind of like the 5K
gravel is still ascendant. Road here in Minnesota is in a dire spot.
How about road across the United States?
Road domestically, it's in a tough spot, and certainly, yeah, in Minnesota, I mean, outside in a really bad way.
I think outside of anything George Hencappy's doing, there's nothing going on.
Yeah,
you have a couple of Fondos, a couple of like charity rides, but you don't.
Fondos continue to be pretty bustling.
Yeah, I mean, but you don't have anything that's competitive out there.
Yeah,
because the Fondo's not competitive.
Nope.
Like you don't have any. Like think of all the great races and the teams that used to be around.
Gone.
You know, gone. There's gone, none gone, of it. Gone. Like Kenda Tires, you had Jelly Belly, you had the whole, you know, the whole Kelly Benefits Optum Health program. You know, all those are gone.
Cross is down a little bit here in Minnesota, right?
I'm not even sure what cross races still exist.
Because a few of the marquee, like a Green Acres, which was a really well done marquee event.
Huge, great race.
Gone.
Yep. They used to do the Wednesday night cross races over at Aquila.
No, they're still going.
Are they still going?
They're still a weekly local event. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't know the races that are out there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but I did enjoy cross because I think that's a great walk-up participatory sport. Race for 30 minutes, real hard,
yep.
And you know, throw up a little bit, and then take a shot in a burning piece of bacon.
And it's totally different. It's completely different than gravel.
Yes, I think it's a more social sport.
Yeah.
It's more recreational.
But gravel is way more accessible to the injured runner or
it's less to a intense.
Triathlon, where it's like it's got more of the triathlon or like marathon vibe where it's like, yeah, you go out, do it, you do it fast if you want, you do it slow if you want, you're doing it with other people. It's not just about.
Well, it's less in, like, I would say, like, if you parallel it to gravel is like trail running versus. Cyclocross is like steeplechase.
Yeah,
there's an intimidation factor on getting on and off your bike, making these, you know, all these crazy steep turns up crazy steep hills and off camber turns that where guys are falling and tumbling down. Where, you know, some of those reverse switchbacks are in Aquila. I think it's there's that. So I think gravel is just less intimidating, but maybe not as fun.
Maybe. Depends what you're into.
I'm just going to go out there and say it's not as fun.
Yeah, as a low-endurance, non-riding guy, I can see why you might say that.
We're just going to stick around. Have you been following the Vuelta at all?
Yes. My cycling spectating is NBC Extended Highlights on YouTube while I'm riding in the basement.
Yep.
So I've not kept up very closely. I just watched the TTT. That made me nostalgic for doing team time trials.
They missed
super
that.
Super fun.
Missed that.
Super, super fun.
When's the last TTT you did?
2010.
Was it really?
2010.
Was it Firehouse?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so good. Who was your team?
David.
DKT.
DKT, David Thompson, Kurt Wood, Kevin O'Connor, and myself.
Wow. That's a super group. That's powerhouse. Like, that is a super group.
Yep. So have you been keeping up with the Vuelta?
I have seen, I've been keeping track a little bit on highlights on Instagram. And yep. So TNT has some.
We are very serious students of the sport.
I mean, the Vuelta is a hard one to follow because it's like, I feel like you're a little burnt out from a lot of racing all year long.
Yeah.
And I think strictly just coming off of the tour, it's a lot of focus. And I've been keeping I've been following Pogacar and his avid avoidance of any social media or spectators interfering with his fun coffee rides. Have you seen that?
No.
He actually is wearing a jersey that has like it's got a camera and it's like got a, you know, like the X out on it. Like, please no selfies, no autographs, no nothing. And that's a jersey that he wears that says, please don't take pictures of me. Please don't bother me. I'm just trying to, like, enjoy my ride.
So he's got to be one of the biggest superstars in the full-blown, everyone has a cell phone.
Yeah, everybody era. Wants. And so imagine like just wanting to go out and take a ride and everybody knowing who you are and going, hey, can I get a selfie? Hey, can I get your autograph? All he wants to do is enjoy riding his bike.
Because he's a super, these guys are superstars in a global sense. And then can you imagine? I mean, have you seen the images like when Vingegaard goes home to Denmark?
Yeah. I mean, it's
tens of, like, he'll be standing in the town square like, hello. You know, he's yep. just this teeny tiny little shy guy. It's like however many tens of thousands of people have come out to see you.
What I have heard is that Vingegaard is suffering a little bit where he is ostracizing himself inside the team, being a being a loner and not a team player.
Can't be the team boss and be Mr. Loner.
Yeah. So I have heard there has been some inkling of that. I haven't seen anything that has been verified on that, but that's some of the like little chatter that was coming from GCN, Global Cycling Network, is also another group that I follow.
Am I remembering this right or wrong? Did I see a headline that Vingegaard's wife publicly complained to the media that his schedule was too hard?
I didn't see that.
And it... When I saw it, it just made my blood boil. Like, ma'am, your husband is making millions of dollars a year for the next few years of his life. He's in the top of the top of the top of his given profession. Almost no one makes any money in the job that he does. He happens to make millions doing it. He's going to set up a very comfortable lifestyle for you and several more generations of children. He's got, what, three more years on the clock of being a super-duper star, and then maybe two or three more years if he keeps going of making a good salary.
Yep.
If he chooses to. If he wants to be a Chris Froome, he could do it for eight more years. He's in a very short little special window. He's making, what, 5 to 10 million euros a year. Yeah, it's not going to be fun. There's going to be trade-offs. Smile and take the trade-off and take the 10 million bucks.
Yes.
And daddy will be home when he's home.
Hush it up. Just hush it up.
And especially
it's not
it's
about
like,
you.
Every athlete on that team with him makes the same sacrifice, but most of them are getting paid 10%, between 5 and 20% of what he's being paid.
It's crazy.
So just, yep, there is a trade-off and there's a real harsh price, and it's, I'm sure, hard psychologically on everyone in the family, up to and including him himself. Yeah, that's what the $10 million is for.
Yeah, that's what the $10 million is for. Just be, just take it and just hush it. No one has sympathy for you. No.
The other guys doing the same, going through the same trade-offs are doing it for
pennies.
100 euros or 100K euros.
It's nothing. Yeah, they need to really hush it up. You mentioned Chris Froome. Did you hear about he had a catastrophic crash?
Another one?
Yes. Oof. He had to be airlifted from this one. So,
in a race or training ride?
Training ride. So got hit in another training ride. So he has been just not, Froome's not been doing well. Not that he like has, I think he's, you know,
he's
we talk
been
about
so checked out for two or three. He hasn't done anything.
We talk about
for like
ending,
five or
ending
six
your,
years.
Ending your career. He needs to end the career. I think he needs to end it.
He, okay. So he was the example. He had the big enough name. He won four or five tours.
I thought he only won three. So he didn't win five.
He's got, okay. So
I thought he won three tour de quoi. Did he win two Tour de France's and a Giro?
You're talking him down pretty fast. Okay, so he's got the big name, and he signed, you know.
Like he was the big sky guy for a while.
He was the big sky guy, and he went to a different, you know, basically his little retirement team and got a nice multi-million dollar deal for a few years. So he took the money, like, yeah, I'll drag this out for a few more years, get this paper. And, you know, if you're making a few mil, hard to blame him.
Oh, yeah, I mean, for sure. But like his goal was still to win the tour. Like, you're not going to do that.
But like, he hasn't been a fact. Like, as soon as he was off Sky and off whatever motorbike he was being
or
given.
Or whatever pharma.
Whatever supplemental.
Whatever, cheap module he was using or had plugged into. Yeah, he allegedly.
Our lawyer just called in to say we should make sure we say allegedly.
Allegedly cheap model that he was using. It's gone. I mean, but it's true. He needs to just, I think, at some point in time for his own safety, just stop.
Well, clearly now just hang it up.
Yeah, because...
So you can, I can see taking, okay, I'll take, $2 to $5 million salary. Yeah, I'll keep going even though I'm destroying my legacy. Yeah, at that rate, it's worth it. If it were 100K... probably wouldn't be worth it to him to destroy his legacy to do this.
Did you watch the Tour de France Unchained on Netflix? I was just watching one of the episodes last night. Vingegaard was discussing like after his last big crash that he had was, is it worth it?
Yeah.
Is it worth me putting my life on the line for this job? I don't know. Like, Jonas, you tell me. You got to make the decision. But it is true Like it is, if you think about like cycling being dangerous, and we've talked about this on past episodes, it's incredibly dangerous.
Yep.
Not just in the race, but in all the training that happens there. So I think Froome needs to figure out is it worth it? And hope just like, be, you know, hang it up and enjoy the sport and find like yourself a, you know, a directeur de sportif somewhere.
No. Disappear.
Disappear.
That guy doesn't have a personality. He doesn't have a brain in his head. Just go disappear.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Just disappear quietly. Look at what Lance did. If Lance had disappeared.
He can join Lance's podcast with
If Lance had disappeared, he could have ridden off into the sunset and never gotten paparooned.
I know.
But he had to come back for more attention.
He had to.
Golly. Chris Froome just disappear.
He needs to, yeah.
I feel like Brad Wiggins has been back in the spotlight. Did Brad Wiggins run out of money?
He did. I think he got divorced and just went poor.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so that's why he's up. Like if you think he's
back
all
get the spotlight.
He's all suckling the Lance teat right now. Oh. You know, because he was on their podcast and doing all their coverage and stuff. So he's suckling to the teat of Lance and trying to get a little something. And apparently he's like, you know, I think he had some substance abuse issues and he's now claiming that his life was ruined by, you know, substance abuse and
drugs and alcohol have ruined my life.
I don't know. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Oh, Brad Wiggins.
Yeah, he's definitely, he's the Rick James of cycling.
He's the something of cycling.
He's something. But, yeah, he's there. And it just, you know, in a sport that is so dangerous, you just need him to kind of walk away a little bit. Because that whole sky, you know, I mean.
Just the worst era of racing.
Yeah.
Just the worst. So boring. And also so obviously cheating and so self-righteous about it.
I know, but they drove Jaguars, and they had like that super bus that was like they called the Death Star, which was really super cool. Like,
hey guys, do you realize you know you're being the bad guys?
Yeah, I mean they do. They could have dressed in white. No, they dressed in black.
Yeah,
and they were the Empire. They were the First Order merging of the Empire. So yeah, well, I guess we'll have to see. I think last I saw, Vinegar was probably the favorite to take that, even though, I don't think there's anybody else out there that's really gonna, challenge him, but, we'll be better and we'll watch a little bit more.
We'll have a check in on Vuelta. Vuelta results before our next episode. Will we even get another episode in before Kona?
No, we're going to do a pre-Kona episode.
Okay, we'll do a pre-Kona.
Pre-Kona episode, because we'll figure it out.
Because we could do some really uninformed picks today.
Is this the last year that they're going to have two races, or are the men and women both racing Kona this year?
Seems like that's some research we should do before our pre-Kona app, huh?
Whether I for some reason, I remember we talked about, I saw with the new CEO that they were bringing in, and they were bringing both genders back to Kona, and that we're going to make it one day, and I think it's this year.
Okay.
So we'll have to see that, and we'll come back Well, I suppose we'll have to do some research, which we say now, but I know that won't happen.
In three weeks' time, we'll be right back here with the same amount of information.
And dear listener, when I say listener, we don't have a lot of listeners, but dear listener out there, please just forgive us for not having a lot of prep work on that. Devin, I got to go do some stuff. You got to go sell some houses or do some closings or whatever you do. And
whatever it is you people, you realtors do.
Hey, for those of you that joined us today, we appreciate you. Devin, thanks for sliding on over. Enjoy the fall weather.
Hold on. On Tuesday, I did have a closing for a triathlete who's been to Kona so many times.
Who?
So many times. That's absolutely none of your business.
What? Come on.
Absolutely you can't none of your name business. Drop? They've been to Kona so many times. We started working on the
Sean
process.
Sean Cooley bought a house from you? What?
We started the process in 2022.
Really?
And here we, just for lifetiming, everything lined up.
Get initials. How old? Age group? Pro?
The timing lined up, so it was super duper satisfying. And we got, you know, they're in the next right house, and we got them a great exit on this house. So it was super satisfying. Kona, multi-time Kona qualifier, super good family friend. wrapped up their closing this Tuesday.
If you want to try and wedge this name out of Devin, just reach him offline.
Message me. or message me privately.
Or DM him on Insta, and you can find him there. So anything else like to offer?
No, I think that was a good enough plug, right? Please do message me if you need to sell your house.
Absolutely, Devin.
I have club soccer and hockey to pay for.
Which ain't cheap, folks. It ain't cheap. Thanks, Devin, for being here. We appreciate, I appreciate you. And until we talk to everybody again, all we ask is that you just be a little better.